Welcome to Kitchen Window, NPR's food podcast. I'm Bonnie Wolf. Most ancient cultures had big celebrations at the spring equinox. One evolved into Easter and another into Nowruz, the Persian New Year. Today, we'll consider the foods of those two holidays. So, let's dig in. Susan Russo is a food writer in San Diego. She also has a cooking blog, Food Blogger. Susan's a frequent contributor to Kitchen Window Online and has written a piece about the Easter pies her family has each year. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Bonnie.
You grew up with Easter pies, both sweet and savory. Tell me a little bit about them.
We grew up with a sweet ricotta pie, which was made from ricotta cheese and flavored with pineapple, which was my grandmother's specialty. We also had a sweet rice pie that has a layer of custard on top. And then we had a savory pie called pizza cana, which is this massive two-crusted pie made with meats, cheeses, and hard-boiled eggs. Mm.
Tell me the story about your grandmother and the ricotta pie. She defied Italian tradition, did she not?
Yes, she did. My grandmother is 99 years old, and we always laugh that she'll make it to 100 and beyond because she has a lot of spunk. And apparently, my mother told me the story last year that when she was about my age, which was about in her 30s, she had been married for a couple of years and had been going to her older sister's house for Easter. And every Easter, they would make the ricotta pie with citron in it. And citron is a candied lemon peel. And apparently my grandmother didn't like the look of the citron in the pie because it would make them dark. So she would grudgingly eat them every year until this one year she decided that she would show up with her own ricotta pie, which is something that you just don't do in an Italian family. She was the youngest of six siblings. And when she showed up, apparently there were some raised eyebrows and mumbling among the women that they thought that it was terrible of her to bring her own pie to their house. But then when dessert time came, apparently all the men agreed that hers was the best. It was the brightest, the prettiest, and the most delicious pie. And in fact, my mother has been making that same recipe for over 65 years. And that's the same pie that I made for the Kitchen Window piece.
Susan, I've had ricotta cheesecake. Is that the same kind of thing?
I think it's a little bit different because American cheesecake is made with cream cheese, and this is made with just ricotta cheese mixed with eggs and seasoning. So while the flavor is similar, the texture is different because the ricotta pie is much lighter and airier than a traditional cheesecake is.
This is traditional in Italy, I assume. Was brought over here. And are there differences that have come up in the pies since they've come to America?
Well, I can't say for sure for Italy because I've never actually been there at Easter time. But just based on what my family and friends have told me, and even just people who've emailed me through my blog from Italy have told me that each region really has remarkably different traditions. I know that my family's traditions came from the Campania region of Italy. And apparently a lot of people in Rhode Island, which is where I grew up, come from that region. So those are the ones that I'm most familiar with.
Have you had in the States, have you had other Easter pies that were different from the ones you had growing up?
No, I didn't. And I have to laugh at that because it wouldn't have been allowed in my house because Easter pies were quite a production. My grandmother and my mother took it very seriously. And in fact, they started making pies probably about the Thursday before Easter. And our refrigerator would just be chock full of everything that you can imagine, from butter to cream to cheeses, making all of the pies. And it would have been unheard of to go to a bakery or to have anything other than those traditional Easter pies.
Is your husband Italian-American?
Yes, he is.
Did he grow up with Easter pies?
In fact, he did. We both grew up in Rhode Island near Providence. And apparently his family is from the general vicinity that my family is from, and they had also had the same type of ricotta pie and the rice pie, but he had never heard of pizza cana until we started dating. But interestingly, his mother always made something called Easter sausage bread, which is really just another variation of the same pie. It's a pizza dough that's cooked with loose hot sausage and cheese and eggs. So in fact, it's very similar. And so we think it's probably from the same region, but just, you know, over time, the tradition and the way of making it had changed slightly.
Do you make these pies now that you live in San Diego?
I really don't. With just two of us, it's a lot of work and a lot of food for two people to eat. But my husband and I have both been missing Easter and have been thinking a lot about it lately. And I just thought it would be something that I would enjoy writing for Kitchen Window. And that was really the impetus for me making them this year. And so I made them all this year. And I've actually saved some of the pizza cana for my parents, who are going to be visiting in a couple of weeks, so that they can have it as well.
The pizza cana sounds like it's unbelievable. What does it look like?
It's amazing. It comes out to about maybe 3 or 4 inches high, and it's just this massive stuffed pizza. Imagine like this biggest, baddest stuffed pizza that you've ever had, and even better than that, because it's filled with Italian cheeses like fresh basket cheese and mozzarella and ricotta cheese, and it has hard-boiled eggs and all kinds of Italian deli meats like salami and mortadella and gabagol. And so it's this really dense, salty, creamy, chewy pie that is unbelievably satisfying. It's traditionally called pizza cana. And that's a Neapolitan dialect term that means full pie, because it's a pie that's full of all of these meats and cheeses. But when I began to research it for the piece, I had searched pizza gaina with a G, because that's the way my family had always pronounced it. And I couldn't find anything when I Googled it. So I called up my mother and I said, "Mom, I can't find anything on pizza gaina." And she said, "Because that's not what it's called. It's called pizza cana with a CH. And I said, "But we always called it pizza gaina." And she said, "Well, that's because we don't speak the good Italian. That's the way we call it. We just call it pizza gaina." And my family always laughed because we said that when you ate it, you always gained a lot of weight.
I've seen you. I know you didn't gain a lot of weight. What did you have for the rest of your Easter meal growing up?
We always started with a big antipasto, which I'm sure you're familiar with. It has different types of Italian meats and vegetables, pickled vegetables, salads, and cheeses. And that was often served with some kind of Italian bread. And then my mom usually would make some type of a soup, often a chicken soup. And then we would have a pasta dish, usually something special, like a spinach ravioli or some kind of stuffed pasta or a lasagna. And then we would have a baked ham with pineapple and a couple of side vegetables. And then the pies would come for dessert.
If you had the pizza cana, was that served with the rest of the food?
That was usually served earlier in the morning.
Oh, so this other meal, is this at lunch or dinner or...
Most families where I grew up would go to Mass in the morning and then have the Easter dinner at 2 or 3 o'clock. But you'd have the pizza cana before then, because nobody could wait, you know, until 3 o'clock to have the full dinner. And if you ate that at the dinner, then you wouldn't eat all the other food that your mom made, which wouldn't go over too well with her.
Susan, wasn't there an episode of The Sopranos that featured a ricotta pie?
Yes, there was. It had to do with Meadow applying to Georgetown. And Carmela, her mother, goes to one of the Georgetown officers who's going to write a letter of recommendation. And when she goes there, she brings her a ricotta pie with pineapple. And the woman says, "Are you trying to bribe me to write a letter for your daughter?" And she says, "Bribe you? I'm not threatening you. I'm not bribing you. I made you a ricotta pie. Look, it's just a ricotta pie." And my husband and I laugh every time we see it, because we think, well, sure she'd bring a ricotta pie because it's so good. You could bribe somebody with it.
She must have had your grandmother's recipe if it had pineapple.
I like to think so.
Susan, thank you so much, and happy Easter.
And happy Easter to you.
Thanks so much, Susan.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was fun.
That was food writer Susan Russo from member station KPBS in San Diego. Nowruz originated in Persia, but it's now celebrated in many countries, from Afghanistan to Uzbekistan. It's a New Year's celebration and starts at the exact minute of the vernal equinox, when the sun crosses the equator and the seasons change. For the last 3,000 years or so, Persians have welcomed spring with a 13-day party honoring new life and the new year. Nowruz has it all. There's myth and symbolism. There's fragrant hyacinth and Persian poetry. There are magic numbers and magic puddings. The traditional Nowruz table is covered with a special cloth on which sit seven symbols of renewal. Everything comes in sevens. It's a magic number. Wild olives are love, apples stand for beauty, and sumac means fertility. Preparations for Nowruz start weeks in advance with a thorough house cleaning, new clothes, and the germinating of seeds to represent rebirth.
What a beautiful house.
Thank you. Thank
you. Just lovely.
Shall I offer you some tea?
I would love some tea. Thank you.
Okay.
For a peek at the real thing, I visited Najmia Batmanglij at her home in Washington, D.C. Najmia grew up in Iran and has written many Persian cookbooks. The latest is called Happy Nowruz, Cooking with Children to Celebrate the Persian New Year. I knew I was at the right house because on her door hangs a wreath decorated with tulips and daffodils and eggshells with sprouts coming out of them. Her airy home is filled with more flowers, more sprouts, and the scent of hyacinth and baklava. I love this holiday. During the Islamic Revolution in 1979, when she was pregnant with the first of her two sons, Najmia and her husband fled Iran. But she did not leave behind her passion for Persian culture. As she cooks in her large, sunny kitchen, she talks about why it is so important for Persians to celebrate Nowruz wherever they are.
I wanted my children to respect their heritage and their ancient heritage. I think it's very important. Even though they were born or raised here, never been in Iran. And I want Iran to be associated with good things, with saffron, rose water, orange peel rather than other things.
Najmia says a spring New Year makes perfect sense.
It's a natural New Year, you know that. First of all, it's springtime, all this smell of flowers. Everybody's happy. There's a lot of light and sunshine. There's no snow. And everything is clean. One of the ritual of the Nowruz, actually, is beside house cleaning, physically, you house clean mentally. Cleansing your spirit is very important. You forgive oneself and others for wrongdoing. I think that's a very good idea.
The holiday this year begins Thursday at exactly 1:48 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Najmia says Persians believe the mood you set at this transition continues throughout the year. So a few hours before, family and friends gather around the Nowruz table, make wishes, read poems, and meditate. Then there's hugging and kissing, and they start to eat. First, a soup with noodles that symbolize unraveling the difficulties in the year to come. It's cooked with fresh dill, parsley, and 4 pounds of spinach, then garnished with dry mint and turmeric.
It's so fresh. It just is so green tasting.
Taste of spring, huh?
Absolutely. It does. It tastes just like spring.
There's a bowl filled with 7 kind of nuts and dried fruits. And there are 7 different sweets. Tiny marzipan berries with a sliver of pistachio for stems. Honey almond crunch with saffron. Rice cookies with poppy seeds. Cloverleaf-shaped chickpea cookies with cardamom. And baklava from the gods.
I'm going to take off the baklava. And I'm going to put the syrup on it while it's hot. Because it's very important. Mix it. Honey and rose water. And put it there. And I usually design it with pistachio and rose petals. That's my signature.
For the big family feast, Najmia usually has 20 to 30 guests and serves the same menu every year. For our test lunch, she made melt-in-your-mouth breaded catfish sticks marinated in lime juice and turmeric. She stuffed a whole smoked whitefish with garlic and slices of Seville orange, then baked it for an hour. We also had herb cuckoo made with a dozen eggs, a fertility symbol, and about 6 cups of herbs representing spring. The green omelet was topped with garnet-colored barberries. I totally understand why this holiday has lasted for thousands of years.
When the revolution came in 1979, the Islamic Republic frowned upon Nowruz. But that was, there was interesting things. This was Iranian people. It was sort of resisting. They celebrate Nowruz more than ever. Politics changes, but culture stays forever. That's my...
That was Najmia Batmanglij, author of many books on Persian cooking and culture. Thanks for listening to today's Kitchen Window, NPR's food podcast. Go to our website, npr.org/kitchenwindow, for more food stories and recipes for Easter pies and Persian New Year. Join us next time. I'm Bonnie Wolfe.